I have to say before we end this, okay. I am surprised that I've gotten you to come down here to Johnny O's. It's a man who has won an award this year, the Chicago Music Award, the Jazz Artist of the Year, and he was featured on the hit show Empire.
I mean,
and now you're at Johnny O's Hot Dog.
Yes, I am. Well, you know.
Hopefully your career's not taking a downward spiral because you're on here,
man,
with me.
Never, 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 never.
It's Mike Jeffers, ChicagoJazz.com, Chicago Jazz Magazine, and welcome to episode 125 of Talkin' Jazz. I'm here with Chris Green. He is making a second appearance, although it's been a year since you've been here, so you've had a lot of stuff going on. He's got a show coming up, though, and this is what we're going to specifically talk about, but of course we'll probably dive into a bunch of other stuff like we did last time. He's got a show coming up February 17th, Sunday.
Yep.
At Space in Evanston, 1245 Chicago Avenue in Evanston. Doors are at 6 p.m. 7 p.m. is the show, of course, with the Chris Green Quartet.
Absolutely.
And last year, right around this time, we were talking about the same show. So this is turning into an annual event, apparently.
Yeah. It was one of those things where I think I just kind of threw a date. I was like, hey, we'd like to play there. I always get worried towards the end of towards the end of any year, because you're starting to look ahead towards booking stuff in the new year. And you're starting to panic because things are starting to taper off. And, you know, you throw a Hail Mary pass to a big venue like Tech Space, and they're like, hey, you'd like to, you know, book a room. How about sometime in the spring? And they were like, hey, how about sometime in the winter? And we're like, oh, okay. Well, all right. And so
that probably works out great because, you know, I mean, first of all, if you've never been to Space has got an incredible sight lines, incredible sound,
absolutely.
Everything. It's a great place to present music. It's a great place to see music.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, it's a really well-known spot, but I bet in the winter, in January, February, it's ideal because since you're local, you'll be able to bring people out and probably get people that don't normally come to Space come out, and that's probably part of the strategy on their end, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's... We came up a lot. Well, when we used to play a lot at say Pete Miller's, which is a great place to play.
Right, yeah, it's right down the street.
Just right down the street. The one snag about playing, say, in a restaurant is that you're constantly in competition with, like, you know, plates banging and drinks and a birthday party in the back or somebody watching the game in the other room.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, whatever. So you're constantly in competition with that. And so you would have people. So I'm from Evanston, and you have, you know, I get to play the hometown hero there. But you get people who come out to, say, like, the restaurant or whatever, and they're like, you know what, this is cool, but I'd rather see you at a place where, like, I can enjoy the music. And the sound is, you know, there's this sound system, and everybody's, like, facing the same way and everything. And so that's what one of the things I appreciate about playing at Space. It's like, it's just such a great venue to play and see music.
Well, and you guys have been together how long? How long is the Chris, now it's the Chris Green Quartet,
but it's really
the same guys in the Chris Green Quartet.
Same guys.
You're in the band.
I'm in the band.
And who else is in the band?
So it's Mark Piatti on bass, Steve Corley on drums, Damian Espinosa on piano. We've been together since 2005, so that makes it 14 years.
And he
hates when I say this, but the new guy, Steve Corley, our drummer, has been with us since 2011. So he's been with us eight years.
Yeah, right.
So
and that's the thing, right? So when you go and play somewhere, like, let's say a restaurant, mm-hmm. you know, and you're doing that, I mean, which is great. You got a gig and
Definitely.
All that stuff. But when you're preparing for a show like at Evanston Space, February 17th, hint, hint, mm-hmm. on a Sunday,
right.
You're probably thinking about maybe playing all of the hits, maybe playing stuff that you wouldn't normally be able to play in a restaurant because there's all these little nuances
exactly.
in some tunes.
Exactly. There are some songs that are... We one thing about us, like, we've been together so long, we can temper our set for, like, a restaurant or... I was actually just thinking about this today. Like, we played everything from, like, restaurants to... retirement homes and those kind of, you know, and every, you know, outdoor festivals and everything.
Yep.
So we're able to temper our set to most any situation. This one, but like you said, yeah, we can basically get to a lot of the songs that either we'd really have to hold back in a restaurant setting, or we'd, like, you know, or we just wouldn't play just because it might just be too wild or just too distracting, because people are. Primarily at a restaurant, people are there to eat, and you are there to kind of, like, set the mood and occasionally like interject like, oh, there's a band over there, and oh, they're quite good. But for the most part, it's like you're part of the vibe. You're no more important.
Right.
You're no more important than the guy bringing you, the guy or the woman bringing you your food.
Mm-hmm.
But here, yeah, we get to stretch out a bit, open up, and really just like show what we can do. So.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing too. I had Joe Policastro on a couple of episodes ago. And, you know, he's got the Joe Policastro right. trio, and we're talking about how it helps, though, because, you know, it's one thing, like most people, they'll get a band together, mm-hmm. they write original music, they rehearse a bunch of times, maybe they go play a one show here, mm-hmm. a one show there. Joe's got that steady at Pops.
Right.
You have had a steady at Andy's
yes.
for 9 months.
Right.
But you guys have always been playing consistently. I think it's because, you know, you treat it like a business, too, where you're constantly trying to make sure the group is working and
right.
stuff. How important is that? Just, I'm sure you guys rehearse. I'm sure you guys could rehearse. You guys could do all that stuff. But how important is it to work through stuff, especially original music, in front of an audience?
Well,
consistently.
I mean, so much of the history of the music is, I mean, you know, obviously there have been some great studio recordings, obviously, over the years, but so much of the power and what we really like about the music comes across in a live setting and comes across in playing these live venues. I mean, you know, jazz in its earliest form, you know, right here in Chicago, was played in some some unsavory places, shall we say?
Brothels.
Okay, can we say brothels?
It's my show. I can say whatever I want.
We can say brothels. We can say you know, red light districts.
Sure.
We can say speakeasies.
That's
that kind
right.
of thing. So you know, and that's intertwined. But you know, I'm all about jazz being, you know, America's great export and, you know, everything else and great, you know, great preeminent art form and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, there's the social component and the component of presenting your music to the people
yep.
that is as much of a part of it as practicing 2-5-1s or polyrhythms or whatever. It's as much as anything else. And I think that's at least what we've been able to keep a longevity with what we do, just because we all love to play. We love to play. We love to make music. We love to play music in front of people, and I think that's the part. And I think people see that. I think people see that we're performing. We don't just have our head buried in the music. We're performing for the audience. They see us that we're having fun and we're enjoying making music and we're, you know, and also there's also just something to be, you know, we're communicators,
yeah.
you know, and even, you know, again, we're artists and we can be all in our art stuff, but at the same time, like Duke Ellington's intros to songs were as entertaining as any of his compositions, or put on a Cannonball record. The first 3 minutes of any song, or him setting up the song and talking about the song and involving the song and involving the audience in what they're trying to do. So, you know, just things like that go a long way towards making an audience comfortable with music that they're not as familiar with, or music that may have some experimental elements
mm-hmm.
that they might, if you take that extra step to like, hey folks, and you know, thank you for being here and show that gratitude or whatever, that goes a long way towards them, you know, you being able to get away with a lot of weird stuff that they might not be able to, they might not necessarily be as open to.
Well, I totally agree, because I'm a big fan, like for an example, right? Avant-garde, you know, mm-hmm. free jazz music and all that stuff. That's not like the first thing mm-hmm. I would head out to see. Although I like it when it's done
right.
great and all
Absolutely.
That stuff. But I will tell you, there's been certain musicians that, because they explained what they were about to do,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, hey, you know, here's what's happening, and blah, blah, like spontaneous composition they
right.
talk about and all that stuff. Well, that makes total sense to me, and it made total sense at the time when
mm-hmm.
I saw this happening to people that were like casual music fans. They actually dug it.
Right.
They were like, wow. And it's that interaction, and I think you're right, because, you know, you have played so much that you're used to talking to people.
Right.
And I think that a lot of musicians, especially nowadays, I mean, you want to go back to, you know, the early 1900s mm-hmm. and all the way up. I mean, they used to play 6-7 nights a week. They
Absolutely.
Used to play 6 hours a night and everything else. So they were just used to being in front of people hanging out.
Absolutely.
And I think now, I mean, especially there's a very small handful of groups, especially in Chicago, you being one of them, that is consistently performing in front of people because you love the music.
Right.
You're not only worried about making a big payday or something. You love the music and you're out there doing it. And I think the macro version of that means that, you know, 5, 6, 7, 14 years later, you know how to present it.
Right.
It's a good vibe, and you guys can experiment more on stage because the audience knows what's happening.
Right. And, you know, it was an ongoing process. I mean, I was just thinking about, like, when I first started leading a band, like, in the mid-90s, and I was in my 20s, I was definitely on that, like, I'm not going to talk to the audience. Or I would talk to the audience, but it would be very, very stilted. And just, like, I couldn't really...
Well, that's because you and I are around the same age, and we both knew Miles just played with his back to the audience and didn't say anything. I guess that's what we should do.
Right, and Miles can do that because he's a genius. Yeah. You know, the rest of us need to talk to the audience. But, you know, it's just getting comfortable enough where I could bring certain aspects of my offstage personality, which is a, you know, pretty goofy, fun-loving person. And, you know, and marrying that with, like, you know, a musical seriousness, I think it can be done. I don't think we're certainly not pandering to the audience, and we're not watering anything down. But at the same time, like, when people watch us, I think they see us having fun. They see us enjoying ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they, you know, if they see me, like, visibly engage with, like, something that my pianist Damien's doing, like, if I'm really enjoying what he's playing, like, as opposed to just kind of like standing off and being standoffish, if they see me enjoying, really engaged or really, like, bobbing my head along with, like, the drum solo or whatever, it's like, oh wow, like, okay, if he's doing that, then, you know, if he's enjoying himself, then I can enjoy myself.
Right.
And so that's, you know, that stuff like that goes a long way.
Oh, I think. Yeah. Well, and you have been playing at Andy's. And you've been letting people sit in down there, too.
Yes.
So that's been 9 months. What night? You guys are just finishing up the run.
Well, we did 8 months of eight months of Mondays.
Mondays.
We had the late shift. And then we're just finishing up a month of Saturdays. So we did the early set on Saturdays. And that's been fun. And that's been a kind of a crash course in, like I said, we've been really fortunate enough to play in different situations, from like I said, retirement parties to private parties to clubs and everything else. And Andy's is great, especially the late shift on a Monday, because you're getting a lot of tourists. You're getting a lot of tourists. You're getting a lot of conventioneers. You're getting a lot of people who are definitely not necessarily there to see your band, but they're there in town looking for something to do, and the choices are either, well, I want to go see some music, I'm either going to go see some blues at Buddy Guy's, or I'm going to go see some Chicago jazz at Andy's, which is nearby, wherever they're staying. And so then when they walk in the door, they're not necessarily there to see music as it is to experience being in a Chicago jazz club.
Right.
And that's actually been an asset, because it's like, we've got to really communicate. Like, the Sunday or the Saturday thing at Andy's is a little bit different, because you know they're there specifically to see.
It's early too. It's 5 o'clock. Right.
They're there to get some
5:30.
Right. They're there to get some dinner, and they are there to see some music. This one, they're not necessarily there to see music as it's just to, like, hang out and be, you know, experience the whole Chicago music thing. And that, like I said, it's been a challenge, but it was a kind of a learning process to, like, okay, what song do we have to get their attention? And should we go, you know, more straight ahead today, or start out straight ahead and then get funkier and angular as the night goes on? Or should we just hit them right away with the weirder stuff and then go a little more mainstream with straight ahead stuff and then get some funky stuff in there? So it's been fun to kind of, like, adjust, and plus you've got people from all over the world that come to Andy's.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, you know.
Well, and you've also had people sitting in too.
That's our,
which is kind of cool,
and
right?
That's been fun too.
It's not a jam session, but if he knows you and you can come up on stage and hang out, that adds another element.
And that's been great too. Just like, you know, we've had friends that will come to just hang out. And it started out like, you know, seeing a friend or whatever that was a musician or a singer that come, hey, come hang out. But I'm like, hey, you know, do you feel like singing or do you feel like playing? And they happen to have their instrument there. And
I just happen to have my saxophone.
I just happen to have my jazz flute here, you know. So, but no, it's been great. People, you know, people came by and it became a nice little sort of a scene for a small little scene. Like, again, it wasn't necessarily a jam session, but it was enough that we knew that people that we loved and respect, you know, would come out and perform with us.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a lot of fun. And we had everybody from a guy, Greg Duzinski, to Markwell Jordan, to Kerry Johnsrud, to Nicole Kessler from the Rhythm Rockets.
Sure, sure.
To, you know, we
have a whole host, and you've been posting those. What's your social media page? Is it under your name?
Yes, or Chris Green Quartet is the Facebook page.
Okay.
And, but Instagram, I would usually post it on my homepage, or Chris Green, or my Instagram page.
Okay,
just like a minute or so of them doing their thing, and just, you know, just and I was never like, I was always just kind of like, pull up the camera and do it, not to make them self-conscious. And it was fun. It was just people would come, and then people would see them and be like, oh my God, I'm going to come next week. I'm like, okay, well, if you come, bring your horn.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Yeah, well, that's cool. And you're probably going to be back at some point, I'm sure. I know that in the winter, everything kind of goes on hiatus.
Right.
Everything slows down a little bit for musicians in the winter. Yeah. January, February, March, it starts picking back
right
up. So I'm sure that if they check out Chris Green Jazz.com,
ChrisGreenJazz.com,
they will get all the information
right
when you're back over there. Now, I have to say before we end this,
okay,
I am surprised that I've gotten you to come down here to Johnny O's. It's a man who has won an award this year, the Chicago Music Award, the Jazz Artist of the Year, and he was featured on the hit show Empire.
I was, yes.
I mean, and now you're at Johnny O's Hot Dog.
Yes, stand. I am. Well, you know.
Hopefully your career's not taking a downward spiral because you're on here,
man,
with me.
Never, 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 never. You are far too important to the Chicago jazz scene. So
how did the Chicago Music Award come about? Because that's, you know, they've been around for 25 years, I think, now?
I was, you know, I was shocked. I got this email. You get emails all the time, people trying to separate you from your money, from like promotional things or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
They're lost in the Middle East and they need you to send $1 million.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so this was something like, you've been nominated for such and such award. I'm like, okay, where's the thing where I'm supposed to send the money or whatever? And I'm like, and I've checked the website and it's like this, like you said, a 25-year history of giving out awards. I'm like, wow, okay, so I'm really nominated for this thing. And so I just kind of, hey folks, you know, I sent the message out to the people on social media. Hey, you know, if you like what you hear, you know, we're nominated for this award and please keep us in mind and blah, blah, blah. My wife and I went to the award ceremony. And
you know you won before you went?
No.
You didn't, right? Because they announced it there,
yep,
right?
They announced it there. And so we went down there and it was cool. It was a really cool event. And we ate it and they got the jazz character and we won. And so I was super, super excited about that. It was one of those things where like, I don't really do what I do for that kind of thing.
Right.
But it's cool because it's, you know, it's nice to be recognized. It's definitely nice to be recognized. And it's just, you know, another little thing I can add to you know, say a club that I've been trying to get into, but now it's like, you won't book us? Well, maybe you'll take a look at this award right there. What do you think? What do you think about that, pal? And, all right, you know. So
aha.
So it's been cool. That's been cool. As far as the Empire thing, that's it's cool because Chicago has a number of programs, TV programs that are filmed here. Chicago Fire.
They keep adding more. It's
Chicago
Fire,
Chicago Police, Chicago, you know, Water District. I don't know. It's all kinds of stuff. But it's all
a show.
Right.
Chicago Streets and Sand.
Chicago Streets, yes. I would turn it. But Empire, oddly enough, is filmed here but set, I think, in Atlanta or something. But they film it here. And I'd done one previous episode where I was a studio musician. And so I was kind of in the background while the actors were singing or whatever, and so we were actually playing to a pre-recorded track that time. But this past episode that we got to play in, or that I got to be in, I actually had the privilege of actually recording. So the musicians that you saw me in the scene with, which were Kai Alexander on piano and Ernie Adams on drums and I can't remember. Oh boy, Chuck Webb. I'm sorry, Chuck Webb on bass.
Do that one more time. Just set the musicians.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, that's fine. So the musicians that you saw me on, I think now I can break it right before.
So the musicians that I performed the scene with, Chuck Webb on bass, Kai Alexander on piano, and Ernie Adams on drums, we were playing to a pre-recorded tape, but
that's you playing.
Yes, we actually recorded it in a studio a week before we shot the scene, and so we're actually playing to ourselves, which was actually really cool. Like, so that's actually my saxophone that you're hearing.
Oh, nice!
On the soundtrack, and
you guys were like playing. The setup was, in case you didn't see it, was it at a club?
Was actually at a
was an event. Right?
It's actually at a hotel, yep. Penthouse terrarium kind of thing.
Greenhouse kind
right,
of thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Greenhouse kind of thing. And it was just kind of like one little dramatic scene that they had timed perfectly for like a minute and 45 seconds. But it was enough there where the camera would pan back past the band and then over to the dialogue. And so it was cool. So we all got a fair amount of, you know, FaceTime.
Yeah, you did. And then people pulled it off and shot it all over social media,
there
too.
You go.
So you got even more FaceTime.
Exactly.
Look at that.
So, yes.
Man, look at that.
Yeah.
So. All right, so what's next? Are you going to be on, what's another hit show?
I don't know. If they ask,
outside of this one, obviously.
If they ask, you know, if they ask, I'll do it.
Well, that's cool, though. I mean, and you also, I mean, you know, outside of your group and all the jazz playing and everything else, I mean, you're able to play all the different styles, so you'll see, I mean, you pop in on different gigs here and there and all that other stuff as they need it. I mean, R&B bands and everything else.
Exactly.
Because they always fill out horn sections. Some of the groups that travel through town might bring a rhythm section, and then they need to get a horn section, right? I mean, so you're one of the first calls for that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff too.
I've done a few of those kind of things. There's another great band that I've been playing with for a number of years. They play basically every Sunday at Bourbon on Division. Great R&B soul funk band called Midnight Sun. They've been pretty much around since for like down at 30, 40 years.
Wow.
And they had a steady residency at a place in Bellwood, but then the place closed down, but then they moved to this place on Division and Damon called Bourbon on Division. So we've been there for a few months, and it's been great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just playing like some good.
And that's on Sundays?
Every Sunday at 8 o'clock. So,
man,
so that's been a lot of fun.
Now, before we get out of here, should we talk a little bit? You've got a release coming out in February at some point.
Yes.
And it's going to be right around the time of this show almost, right?
I think so. Yeah, probably maybe even a little bit before. But it's a little release. It's called Play Space. And basically, we've kind of been holding on to it for about a year now. And we'll see what happens. I don't want to do a whole lot of build out. It's kind of an experiment. I want to try sort of what Beyonce did with Lemonade.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's Beyonce, and she's got, you know, she's Beyonce.
Yeah.
I will sell significantly less units than Beyonce. But I wanted to just, instead of just kind of doing the typical build up, you know,
album's coming,
I just want to just like
drop
I'm
it.
I'm just going to drop it and see what happens. So that's the plan. So just be on the lookout for Play Space by the Chris Green Quartet.
And that's going to be able to be on the lookout at chrisgreenjazz.com.
Yes.
We'll link that up. And of course, February 17th, Chris Green Quartet will be at Space, 1245 Chicago Avenue in Evanston.
That's
doors at 6, show at 7. All the information at Chris.